I want you to look again, verse 2 of this text. And in particular, I want you to notice a little phrase that Luke writes concerning their already miserable situation, a situation we preached on last week from Acts chapter 27. Did not have time to finish all that we wanted to say in that message. And so he says in verse 2, the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. That's an expression that means a lot of kindness. For they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. The words I want you to notice and specifically this morning are the words, the present rain. You know, most everybody knows that the writer of the book of Acts was a man named Luke. He's called the beloved physician. He's also the highly recognized historian. And as such, Luke includes both in his gospel and in the book of Acts specific little details that are completely unique to his own style. In other words, Luke is always looking at a situation both through the eyes of a doctor and an historian. And God used Luke's capacities in that realm when inspiring him to write the scriptures, so that in almost every instance when Luke records a healing miracle, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we noted when we studied the gospel of Luke, he includes specific physical details not found in any of the gospels. For example, only Luke says that Peter's mother-in-law had a, quote, high fever. Only Luke tells us that it was the man's right hand that was withered and that the leper was, quote, full of leprosy. Likewise, only Luke mentions that it was the servant's right ear that the apostle Peter severed from his head, and I'm sure that was a detail Peter appreciated Luke putting in the gospel. And it's true that the wounds that the Good Samaritan treated, the scales that came off of Saul's eyes, the dropsy of the man that was healed on the Sabbath, in all of these, Luke uses the exact same Greek words used by Hippocrates in his medical journals. And of course, it is in this text as well that you see this same perspective when Luke heals the father of Publius. Verse 8, you'll notice, says in the text, it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux. That referred to dysentery. Well, that brings us to the last statement of verse 2, where Luke, the beloved physician, talks about these islanders who built a fire, A, because of the present rain, and B, because of the cold. Look again. Verse 2, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. You see, folks, Luke understood that after swimming in the frigid waters and now shivering in the cold rain, what drowning did not do, hypothermia could do. These men were still in grave danger. And so we took note some time ago of an intriguing little word in this text when Luke writes that it was because of this current, this present rain. The word present is a Greek word of immediacy. In other words, it means the rain that we are enduring right now. What Luke is emphasizing is a sort of piling on of all of the troubles and the dangers that they have faced and that we spoke of last week. He is saying, to use an old expression, trouble always comes in threes. I remind you of Paul's testimony in 2 Corinthians 11. Paul said, three times I suffered shipwreck. Trouble, it seems, always comes in threes. And God is saying in the light of this text and this entire story, beloved, is something that all of us truly need to hear. Let's pray. Our Father, we're grateful for your word, and we know that every word of it was given for our learning and our admonition. None of these stories are included in the scriptures to satisfy curiosity. Rather, Father, to teach us eternal truth about what it means to be a Christian in this present world. And I pray, God, that you'll speak to our hearts, that the Holy Spirit, please, we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. There are four things in this morning's text that I want us to consider very carefully. In light of the details and the specific detail that there was a current present rain threatening the lives of Paul and Luke. And the first thing I want you to notice is that, number one, the current rain, the present rain, is a reminder, obviously, that there was a past rain. In other words, this was not Paul or Luke's first rain. This was just the one that they were enduring at the moment. You'll notice in the chapter before this, chapter 27, which we noted last week in verse 18, these words. Look at it, would you? And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Now, folks, you realize why it says in this text they could see neither the sun nor the stars for days. It was because of the storm. The rain clouds were obscuring all of the stars. It's a reminder of the story of Sherlock Holmes, and he and Dr. Watson were out camping. They pitched their tent one night under the stars, went to sleep sometime in the middle of the night. Holmes woke up Watson and said, "Watson, look up at all the stars and tell me what you see." And Watson replied, "I see millions and millions of stars." And Holmes said, "And what do you deduce from that, Watson?" And Watson said, "Well, if there are millions of stars and even a few of those have planets, then likely there are some planets that might be like Earth out there. And if there are a few planets like Earth out there, there might be life." And Holmes said, "Watson, you idiot. It means that someone has stolen our tent." Well, this was a giant tent, if you will, these rain clouds. And you know what's fascinating to me? Notice how long this lasted. Chapter 27, verse 33. "And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat or food, saying, 'This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing.'" In other words, the present rain that they were experiencing at Malta, beloved, was simply in addition to the other storms and rains that they had encountered 2 weeks earlier. I remind you again, Paul's testimony in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 was, "Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day," he said, "I spent in the deep." So that both Paul and Luke experienced more than the current, that is, more than this present rain. And yes, it is a reminder this morning to all of us as believers, a very important reminder, that the perfect will of God for our lives, that the center of God's will for every Christian will sometimes include periods of rain, storms, disappointments, discouragements. Let me put it to you this way. Several chapters before this, the Apostle Paul was threatened with stoning in the city at Jerusalem by his own brethren. Nevertheless, he was still right in the center of God's will. Soon after he was arrested by the Romans, he was locked away in a cell and falsely accused, but he was right in the center of God's will. Soon he was bound and escorted under guard in the ship headed for Rome, and there he was still right in the center of God's will. During that same journey, the Bible says, Paul encountered one of the fiercest storms of biblical times, one that ultimately destroyed the ship that he was on. And that shipwreck, in the middle of it, Paul was still in the center of God's will, swimming to shore with all of his might. And with the non-swimmers, the Bible says, clinging unto boards, Paul now finds himself, still he's a prisoner, but soaking wet. He is chilled to the bone, he exhausted. And even with more rain now beating and coming down on his already freezing body, when it rains, it pours, they say. And yes, sometimes troubles come in threes. But here he is, ladies and gentlemen. Guess what? He is still all along right in the middle of God's will. You see, folks, the whole story is a reminder that as God's people, nobody is exempt from the rain. The present rain, the current rain, testifies that there was, in fact, a previous rain. It also testifies, number two, inasmuch as the present rain alludes to rain in the past, it also alludes to the rain of the future. Note this carefully. When he says, because of the present rain, immediately you know, all right, he means not the one that they had just gone through. He also means that because it's the current one, he's not referring to the rains that undoubtedly, sometime in their life, they're going to go through. Yes, it will rain again. And folks, in a metaphorical way, it would actually rain again on Paul very, very soon. Look at verse 2 again. He says, "And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness." There's some good news. Finally, the barbarous people, by the word barbarous there is not referring, it's just a term that meant non-Greek speaking people. These weren't pirates or headhunters. And these locals in Malta were showing tremendous kindness and now warming their survivors to the point that things are finally starting to look up. At least for sure, note this, Paul is vindicated before his guards because he predicted this storm. Remember what we noted last week? And he prophesied their deliverance from it. There's warmth in the rain, but it's about to rain again. Verse 3. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. By the way, he gathered sticks. You young men in here who want to be preachers or whatever, or work in the ministry, take note that the great apostle was not above picking up sticks for the fire. And when he did, there came a viper out of the heat, and it fastened on his hand. Now, you know, snakes are cold-blooded animals, and you know that they tend to hibernate. And they're perfectly still in cold weather, and this was wintertime. But when you throw them into the fire and the little hiding places, their wooden hideouts, they tend to wake up and no doubt wake up very grouchy. This one is a viper. He's extremely poisonous. He gets out of the fire by sinking its fangs deep into the Apostle Paul's hand. And you might ask yourself the question, it's raining. It's cold. It's an island far from Rome. The apostle is exhausted to his very core. He has tried to save the ship. They fasted for days. He struggled to get to shore by swimming. It is as if nothing on this trip has gone well for him. And now, there's a poisonous snake hanging, the Bible says, from his hand. Is Paul still in the center of God's will? Well, you know what? Some people don't think so. Look at verse 4. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt. This is what a lot of Christians say, by the way. No doubt. They assume something. No doubt this man is a murderer. Well, there's a leap. Whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. Now, follow this, folks. Notice what the people thought about the rain. Because I'm telling you something. It's one thing to get rained on. It's something else when one rain comes after another rain. Notice their conclusion. They said in verse 4, yeah, he escaped the sea. At first, it was a sign of divine favor. But see this serpent? He's a sign of divine judgment. No doubt, they said, this man is a murderer. And just like that, Paul goes from the current rain, the current storm, right into the middle of another storm. In other words, folks, it didn't rain on his parade. It didn't rain on his picnic, ladies and gentlemen. It rained on his reign. And the prosperity crowd would look at this and say, this man is surely out of the will of God. This man must have no faith. Obviously, he's being, in fact, judged by God. And they then do what this same crowd today often does. Verse 5. Paul shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while. In other words, look, they're watching Paul die. This is dinner and a show for these people. And Paul is the main attraction. And here they're all gawking and waiting for the poison to do its work, and they're convinced this man's under the judgment of God. It says in verse 4, they said among themselves, even after watching a great while, in other words, saying, psst, look at him. I think he's getting bloated. Look at his hands swelling. No, I don't think it is. Yeah, his face is red. He doesn't look good. And they said among themselves. It's a fascinating scene. Reminds me of Job's friends who were circling around him and watching him. And they too came to the wrong conclusion because of Job's trials. And surely, beloved, surely, we ought all to know by now never to judge somebody standing before God or someone's being in or out of the will of God by something as shallow or short-sighted as external circumstances. Prosperity is not necessarily a badge of God's approval. And great affliction is not an indication of God's disapproval. Why? Because as Jesus said in Matthew 5:45, he maketh His sun to rise on the evil and the good, he sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. In other words, right in the center of God's will, there was a present rain. There had been a previous rain, and there would be more rain to come in the days ahead. If you're here this morning and you're a child of God, if you know Christ as your Savior and one of your concerns is what others think about your trials and your failures, you're worried about what other people think about your troubles and your afflictions. Maybe people have even said things to you. I know what that's like. Because you know what? They totally misunderstood the truth about your situation. Can I remind you of why you should never fret about people who make judgments based on your external circumstances? Any people. Maybe someone that you considered wise and godly, and they came to you and said, surely this is happening to your child because your prayer life, or you haven't been tithing, or this, or maybe you're not in church every week, or something. There's a reason why God is doing this to you. Let me remind you why you're not too concerned about people and their opinions. Verse 4, and when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt, this man is a murderer, and vengeance suffereth him not to live. But then it says in verse 6, howbeit they, the same people, looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. He went, talk about flip-flopping, forget about politicians who run for office. Paul went from murderer to God. He went from dying for his sins to being a deity before their clothes even got dry. It's much like the crowd in Jerusalem that said, Hosanna to the Lord Jesus. Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. The very same crowd, just a little bit later, said, crucify him. Even hours later. You see, folks, people are fickle. Most people do not see things through the lens of Scripture. They do not look at their own circumstances or the circumstances of those around them through the lens and the truth of God's Word. And therefore, unless they are doing so, you should not put too much weight on what they think about that. Last week's coverage of the Iowa primaries, I was watching them and they were talking about former Iowa primaries and they mentioned Howard Dean. And I remember how in 2004, that presidential election, Howard Dean was the hottest front runner ever in American politics up to that point. You may remember the Deaniacs. They're going crazy. And you may remember, too, that with one little squeal in his Iowa speech, we're going to South Dakota, we're going to Oregon and Michigan, and then we're going to watch him take the White House. Yeah! Remember that? It was called the I Have a Scream speech, they said. Do you know that he went in one day, from being Elvis to Milli Vanilli or something like that. See, I don't know who Milli Vanilli is. That's the point, right? But that's the entire population, at least the Democratic population, of the United States of America. That's fickle. And that is human nature. And that is why you ought never concern yourself with the opinions of those who judge only by circumstances. Concern yourself with the truth. And the truth is, it rains on the just. There is a present rain. It's raining on many of you now, and you're hurting. There was also a previous rain. You can look back, and by the way, one of the things you deduce from that is that God was faithful back then. 5 years ago, when the rains were hard, and you had just come through a storm itself, and you were shivering to the bone, God was faithful to you then. And you know that there is a coming rain. And with all of these rains, not a single drop of any of them removes you necessarily from the blessing or the approval of God. On the contrary, it may even enable you, as in Paul's case, to do more and greater things for the glory of God, or just to be more within yourself to the glory of God. Let me show you what I mean. Verse 7 says this. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father, Publius, lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul, entering in, and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also, which has diseases in the island, came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. In other words, note this carefully. You do realize that it was precisely because of that current rain on that island that the islanders built a fire. And it was because of that fire that Paul gathered wood to keep the fire going. And it was because of that wood that Paul had a serpent bite him on the hand. And it was because of that bite that Publius, the chief man of the island, invited Paul into his home to lodge. And it was because of that Publius' father was healed. It was by that healing that, quote, many in the island were healed, so that for 3 months Paul ministered not only to the islanders, but also to his own Roman captors. In fact, did you ever wonder why Paul got special treatment while he was in Rome that made a huge difference to the New Testament? Look at verse 16. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. Skip down to verse 30 and look at this. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Wow, that is a blessing. Paul has a personal guard. He is allowed free rein to preach the gospel in the capital city of the world empire. Why? All because of a storm and a shipwreck and a snake. And may I say, you shouldn't think for a minute that Paul looked at the rain. He didn't look at the snake and say, boy, what a blessing this is. I love this. All things are good. He didn't hold up the serpent that was hanging off of his hand and preach a sermon on Romans 8, 28. You know why? Romans 8, 28 hadn't been written yet. That's why. But he didn't preach on Joseph in Egypt either and say, yeah, this is good. I'm so glad this is happening. He didn't see the viper in his flesh and say, you know, God has a reason for this. You know what he did? He freaked out like you would and shook it into the fire. By the way, that's what all snake handlers are supposed to do up in the mountains. Amen, West Virginia. Shake the rattlesnake in the fire. I never understood a church that had snake handlers. Brother Tim, you ever see those up in North Carolina? I remember a preacher was preaching one of them. He was called up. They call people in the audience, and they have snakes up here, you know, and they're rattlesnakes. Brother Sam grew up in these churches. And so this guest said, where's the back door? He says, we don't have one. He says, where do you want a back door? Because he was going to make them. You know, Paul said, no chastening in the present seemeth to be joyous. No chastening, no trials, no persecution in the present seemeth to be joyous. There's nothing fun about going through trials and tribulations, about a sickness or a financial reversal. But there are rains that God is faithful in. As a reminder, the past rain, the future rain. So number three, it's a reminder. Number three, I want you to notice it is a reminder of the absence of rain. Boy, I hope you don't miss this. Go back to our text and look at verse 11. He says, after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. In landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew. And we came the next day to Puteoli, where we found brethren, and were desired to tarry with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. Now, wait a minute. You get the point here, do you not? The sun is shining. The winds are favorable. 3 months, the winter is past, and just like so many, many days before, it is smooth sailing in these verses. And let me say, ladies and gentlemen, that those are the majority of all of our days in this world. 2 days ago, the cruise ship Concordia hit a reef just off the coast of Tuscany. And if you look on a map, you will see that it is literally, right now, it is listing on its side in the exact same waters described in verse 13. The last word of the verse there, Puteoli, is today the Bay of Naples Regium is near Palermo. These are ports of call for the Concordia that right now is listing on its side. So that again, here in these very same waters, we're reminded by a 2,000-year-old news report that Luke writes, and a two-day-old news report, it's on television, that there are far, far more sunny days in life than there are rainy days. You see, there are thousands and thousands of safe, pleasant cruises that happen every year that never make the news, precisely because the good days are so common and so every day in our lives. You know, all you folks in here who griped and complained every single day about the heat and the humidity last summer, let me ask you a question. How about today and yesterday? How about tomorrow? How about all of next week and all of next month? Does the gratitude and the praise about this even come close to matching the discontentment and the daily grumbling from your lips before? Or is it too cold now? When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Remember when we preached on the words of the psalmist? We have spoonfuls of troubles, but buckets of blessings. That's our life. Why is that? Because the blessings outnumber the troubles. They outweigh the troubles, and yes, they outlast the troubles. Which brings us to the fourth reminder in the text. It is a reminder of the past rain, the future rain. It is a reminder of the absence of rain. Number four, you'll notice, it is also a reminder one day that it will never rain. In chapter 27, I want you to notice what happens on the 14th day. Go back, would you? And look at verse 27. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern, and they wished for the day. Can I ask you a question? Did you ever wish for that? Did you ever wish for the sun to shine again? I can remember being a little boy, the first big roller coaster I went on, and the big drops. I can remember wishing it was over. Oh, just stop it. Stop it. Somebody stop it now. Were you ever in a situation you just wished? Maybe as a little child it was dark and you were scared and you couldn't wait for the sun to come up. These were grown men, seafaring men, and they wished for the day, the Bible says. Of course you have. And if you don't think that all of this rain has taken its toll on Paul and the other men, look again at chapter 28 and verse 11. And after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. Verse 15. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum, the three taverns, whom when Paul saw these brethren, he thanked God and took courage. Do you know why he took courage? Because he was discouraged. He needed to be encouraged. May I say this? You ought to thank God for people in your life who encourage you. You know, Appii Forum was a 40-mile walk. A 40-mile walk for these brethren who, when they heard about Paul, came to Rome to see him. And just the sight of him, the Bible says, was an encouragement to the beleaguered servant of God. And so much so that he thanked God. He literally got on his knees and thanked God for their arrival. And we can all identify with that. Many times I've thanked God and I've taken courage for many people in this room. That's when the rains are not necessarily falling. It is always a reminder of this coming day. Look again at the last two verses of the book of Acts, would you? Acts chapter 28, and I want you to notice this carefully. Here's verse 30. It says, "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence." Note this, the kingdom of God and the gospel of Christ. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that Paul is not enduring the present rain today anymore. For from the city of Rome, after 2 full years, the time of Paul's departure was at hand. He had fought a good fight. He had finished his course. He had kept the faith. And yes, there was laid up for him a crown in the kingdom of God, a crown upon which the rains would never come. And so, for every believer in this room, God wants you to know that the present rain is exactly that. It's just that. It is the immediate and passing situation. One day, it'll be more than just the present glory or the present light or the present day. One day, the Bible says, it will be the eternal day. And on that day, we will look back on all of the storms and all of the past rains in the light of God's kingdom. We will sing, "Worthy is the Lamb," to receive glory and honor and praise. And we will wonder why we didn't have the faith of Paul. We will wonder why we complained and worried and griped so much when it was just the present rain and that God was always in control. The past 2 weeks, we've looked at a story in the book of Acts. There was a storm. It was an historical event, a weather event, as they would say today. And it affected the lives of a lot of people. But a portion of that is recorded in the inerrant and eternal Word of God to teach us something about living as Christians in this world. God did not say you would not go through the valley of the shadow of the death. Shadow of death. He said that He would be with you. God did not say that we would not endure a rain, and a storm, a shipwreck, and a viper bite, and false accusations. But He promised to be with you. He kept His word to Paul when He said, "You will get to Rome." He'll keep His word to you when He says, "You will get to heaven by faith in Jesus Christ." You will. And having that promise, what more do we need? You know, trouble comes in threes. I'm going to say this. The folks in this room are either going through a storm, you just came out of a storm, or you're going to go through a storm. Pastor Blake, that's not why I came to church. I came to church to find out that I'm going to be a victor no matter what. Yes, but I'm called to preach the truth. And the truth is, there is a present rain. There is a past rain. There is also the absence of rain. Oh, the glorious days that God gives us that far outweigh, outnumber, and outlast the troubles. And there is coming a day when there is no rain. Our Heavenly Father, with deep gratitude in our hearts, we are grateful for Your Word, for the presence of the Holy Spirit. We are thankful, Father, for the truths we're reminded of when we open up the Scriptures and see how You dealt with men and with women and in the current world and the situations of life. And we know, dear God, that we ought to see everything in our lives through the lens of Scripture. May we have faith to do so. When circumstances tell us one thing, may we trust the truth of Your Word and give You praise because You have revealed these things to us in Your grace. Bless Your people today. The decisions made in their hearts will give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen.